Well, we're back. So the key is the I think, the theorizing. You know, Descartes said, I think, therefore I am. And so you are a theorizer. You're one with an opinion. And that opinion is a result of you thinking about conditions that inhibited you from accomplishing that which you wanted to relate with, whether it was to go out and play with friends as a child or whatever it is. See, Martin Luther King Jr., I mentioned this in a prior program, the whole thing of civil disobedience came from the fact that he wanted to relate with a young white boy, and the dad came out and told his son not to relate with Martin Luther King Jr., a young black man. And therein, that hurt his feelings, and I would agree with that. But the process of the dialectic says, get rid of the right of the father to tell the child what's right and wrong. See, negate the patriarchal paradigm. Practice patricide. That's what civil disobedience did. It destroyed the black family because it destroyed the patriarchal system. And by doing that, which the dialectic does, it destroys a top-down system of restraint upon government. Now government can come in, dialectical government will come into every facet of your life. How you feel and what you think has to be shared. There is nothing private. Private is how you feel and think. And, you know, you do keep things private because, you know, if you reveal them, even to yourself, you know you're wrong. You know it wrong because some higher authority has told you it's wrong and your conscience bears witness with that higher authority. Now, when the facilitator comes along and says, okay, you know, for God does know the day you eat thereof, you'll be like him, and you won't die. Now you're free to think. Now you're free to feel. And now you can have spontaneity and freedom. Freedom what? Freedom to justify the flesh. Freedom from a God of restraint upon the flesh. See, the laws of God which restrain you, because with the law comes, laws are worthless without force, because with God's law there comes force. There's a consequence. So the dialectic says, no, we've got to make sure everybody in the room can share how they feel and what they think. So the process cannot work without a facilitator just asking people, well, what do you think? And how do you stop that if you stand up and say, well, it doesn't matter how I think, it's what I know. My people destroyed for lack of knowing. Why? How did they get away from knowing? Because they went to thinking. And they went to analyzing the situation through their feelings and through leaning to their own understanding. And that's sense perception. And you know what that does? That ties you to the flesh. That ties you to the creation. And it removes you from the Creator. You are to analyze the situation from God's Word. That's all Jesus did. He analyzed the situation from God's word. What Satan got Eve to do was analyze God's word from the situation, turn it around. So then Herbert Marcuse says, the concrete condition for realizing the truth may vary. Okay, that simply means the issues can be different issues. The issues for a kindergarten student is different than the issues from a 12th grader, different from the issues of a college graduate, different from the issues of a person working on their master's or a doctorate or a farmer or a fireman or your town hall, the town hall members, your town council, what or the county commissioner. Those concrete conditions can all change, but realizing the truth, for realizing truth may vary, but the truth remains the same. Now, what is the truth? The truth is the process. See, he says there is only one truth and one practical capability of realizing it. Theory accompanies the practice as every moment. So the dialectic requires you to look at the world situation, look at the situation, find the appropriate information in the time, in the moment, to solve the crisis. And only that information which directly relates with solving the crisis in the here and now becomes relevant. So when you come in with words of faith, see, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. It's, you know, faith is the evidence of things not seen, the substance of things hoped for. Faith is not sight. So any statement of faith, and they can use faith, but see, Hegel put it this way. He said, purposiveness without purpose, lawfulness without law. In other words, faithfulness without faith. You can have a sense of faith. You can have a sense of law. You can have a sense of purpose, but there's no concrete. There's no thus saith the Lord in it. It's just a realizing that this truth, the conditions change, but the truth remains the same. The truth is the process. The truth is Genesis 3, 1 through 6. This is the foundation for the New World Order. This is the Council of Foreign Relations. This is how the leaders of our nation make policy today. Is did you do the process? That's where the truth lies. The truth lies in Genesis, in Satan's Genesis project. And the theory remains its ultimate guardian. In other words, without getting everybody's opinion out in the room, you cannot have the process practiced in completion. Everybody must participate. Everybody must share the dissatisfaction to restraint. Philosophy, remember Hegel says, philosophy begins when you become dissatisfied with the conditions of the past that you're practicing in the present. In other words, the commands of God in the past. Children of Israel were to what? To teach their children what happened in the past. Now, I guarantee, as an adult is teaching a child, the child gets, oh, I've heard this before. And they're looking for play. They're looking for something new. That's a, remember the Balak and Balaam. He was told, see, he curse Israel. Well, he couldn't curse Israel because he was trying to obey God. He was not obeying God. Even the donkey had to correct him. But he had the key. He said, well, now, you know what? If you would have the women mingle with the Israeli people, you can compromise them. See, that was the key. That's the matriarch. And that's your feelings. If we can bring your feelings into your teaching in your life, this was the effective domain education. The feelings were always under control of the parent. The parent would say, take the garbage out, and the child would say, well, I don't feel like doing it. See, I don't think I should have to do it. Whack, you know. That took care of the thinking. That took care of the feeling. In other words, you do what I tell you to do. God says, if you obey me, you're blessed. If you disobey me, you're cursed. God chastens those he loves. Why does he have to chasten you? Because you go, well, I think and I feel. You counter his commands because you love the flesh. See, self loves flesh. Self and flesh are in brotherhood. And so that's why you have to humble yourself and deny yourself in traditional education with self-control and self-discipline. And how did that take place? Because you were taught truth, and as you were learning and hopefully taught truth, and as you were learning these facts to apply in the future, you became bored. And then your natural body, your flesh, the laws of the flesh are looking to escape from the boredom, escape from the truth. Because the truth is in the praxis of changing. That's all the Genesis 3, 1 through 6 was change. You hear that word everywhere. Change, practice change. So it wasn't a one-time event. That process, Genesis 3, 1 through 6, is a process that the dialectic, those who praxis it, Satan says, this is the way you have to practice. That's all he was trying to get Jesus to do, was practice Genesis 3, 1 through 6. Think for himself. Can't you think for yourself? No. That's what my dad says. Boy, you're stuck in a rut. You're sort of peculiar. You're a sanctified, set apart. You're in the world, but you're certainly not of it. Because the world are all thinkers. How can I get out of this situation? They're not trusting the Lord with all their heart. They're leaning to their own understanding. Then Herbert Marcuse's theory will preserve the truth. Wow. Isn't that amazing? Your theory begins, philosophy begins when you're dissatisfied with restraining truth. Because truth is now found in the process. I hope you're grabbing this, because see, if you go to these mega churches, that's where the truth lies. Oh, they can talk about Jesus, but truth is not in Jesus. Truth is in the process, the dialectical process, which incorporates how you feel and what you think in light of changing times. And so now you come in with King James or any Textus Receptus translation that ties you, even the Geneva Bible is very didactic in its structure, very didactic in its translation. Now, there can be a problem in the translation, and I pointed that out in prior programs, and you get on my website, authorityresearch.com, and there, you know, if in the front part I talk about why I use King James, but there are some problems with King James, because the translators deliberately use certain words. Because King James wanted control over the church. He didn't use the called out ones. He used the church. The church was always traditionally under the king. And so he would not use something that would give you a clear understanding that the church is not under the state. The state cannot tell the church. As the government today, you know, the federal government is telling ministers to preach Romans 13:1, yield to the higher power, in proper translation from the Textus Receptus. Yield to the higher authority is the proper translation, which simply means if the king is a tyrant and he tells you to do what a tyrant wants you to do, you can say, sir, you are wrong. I will not, in good conscience, I cannot participate in your tyranny. But if you yield to the higher power, you must obey the tyrant. That's powerful stuff. And now the government is telling the ministers how to preach the Word of God. Isn't that interesting? Theory will preserve the truth. See, so therefore, everybody's opinions, that's why in the church, it's Tim Clem, a friend of mine, he says, we have a new Bible. He says, go ye therefore and take polls and surveys. That is where truth is found. And so when you go into the church today with the truth of the Word of God, all of a sudden, you know, you're called negative, divisive, hateful, intolerant. You're causing dissension. Because you're not preserving the process of globalism. You're not preserving the process that brings us to oneness in the world. You're not preserving the process of truth, which is we have something all of us in common that we can unite on. And that's called love. But we're going to get to Herbert Marcuse's book, Eros, his love. See, it's interesting. Eros comes along and swallows up agape. And how do you swallow up agape, which is what God's love is? Because, see, God loves you when you're unlovable. You know, we love people because we have something to get out of them. You know, somebody just makes you feel good, so you like to hang around with them. And that's the flesh speaking. Well, God hangs around you when he doesn't have anything to gain from you. What has God got to gain from you? I mean, what does God have to gain from anyone who walks on the face of the earth? He's just a God of love. And we can't have that because the flesh can never produce that. The flesh can never comprehend that love. And so you can have the eros of the flesh come in. And that's the how do you feel and what do you think, and do a little Bible study with I feel and I think, and swallow up, because everybody participates in the dialogue, swallow up the real love of God, because you come in and says, you know, the Word of God is, you got to die to yourself. Oh man, you know, that's Jesus said, you must eat my flesh and drink my blood. How many people hung around? I mean, they scattered. Christians are running from the Word of God as fast as they can, because they love the opinion of God's Word, but they don't love the Word of God. Because their truth is not found in Christ. Because if when truth is found in Christ, you're dead. You die to yourself. There's nothing you can gain from this world. And once you give everything you have to Christ, then you're set free. You're set free from your children. You're set free from your job. You're set free from your house. You know what? You trust in the Lord with all your heart. My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. And now you praxis that, and I'll tell you what, you might end up not being successful in the eyes of the world. You know, you might end up like the early church that was martyred. You know, God has not called you to be successful. He's called you to be a witness, a martyrius. That's his truth. But now the truth is in the process to preserve the truth. What? The theory. Get everybody's opinion. And he says, theory will preserve the truth even if revolutionary praxis deviates from its proper path. And so this is revolution. It's an overthrow of the patriarchal paradigm. It's an overthrow of the work of God and replacing it with the work of man in the concept that man can work with God. See, if we have our love and God has his love and we bring those two together, that's private-public partnership, faith-based partnership, you know, government and the church. And what that really is eros swallows up agape. It deceives those because now you trust in men. And then it presents itself as agape. So you can bring in more deceive more people. Taking pleasure in deceiving others because that's a group hug. You ever been in a consensus? Everybody in the room was just deceived. And they love it. They don't think they're deceived. They're deceived because they think they could look at the situation and come to the right solution through human reasoning. Practice, Herbert Marcuse says, follows the truth, not vice versa. So what is the truth? The process. And therefore, the practice of it, eating of the tree of knowledge, good and evil, follows the truth. What is the truth? It's a process. See, the process doesn't follow eating the fruit. The process precedes eating the fruit. So the praxis cannot take place without the procedure. So that you get Bloom's taxonomies, the cognitive domain, affective domain. Every teacher in this nation certified, Christian as well, on Bloom's taxonomy. That is to practice Genesis 3, 1 through 6. To do the dialectical process. You start with knowing, comprehension, application, analysis. We've covered that in prior programs. But the fifth step is synthesis. If when you're told the truth and you synthesize, what are you going to synthesize with? The opposite of the truth. See, Martin Luther King Jr. said, you know, in Hegel's dialectic, this is from his book Strength to Love, he says, in Hegel's dialectic, truth is not found in the thesis, God's position, don't eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, if you do, you're going to die, nor the antithesis, Satan said, oh, you won't die, for God does know the day you eat thereof, you'll be like him. It's not found in the either or, but in the emerging synthesis, which reconciles the two. It's found in the process. It's found in Eve's evaluation of the tree and synthesizing, which means finding what's common in the here and now with those things she's experienced in the past that bring unity. And what is that? All the other trees are just like this tree. I hope you understand that, because that's the trickery of this whole thing. Because in your mind, you're subject to that outcome. You can always justify your deeds in the present by the things you've done in the past. You know, you've been around the block enough times, therefore, you can now direct your own steps. And God says, no, you can't. I don't care how many times I lead you around the desert. Every time you go around, you better be following that flame at night and the smoke in the morning. It is me. It is, I am who I am, that you follow. See, deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow me. It's a daily walk till the day you die. That you don't get to a point of saying, oh, I got this all figured out. You know, Lord, you can sit over there. And you know, he may do that at times. He may say, okay, I'm going to step back and just see how you can handle this situation. Now, he's not tempting you. He's just seeing how mature you are. But he's always directing. It is not in you to direct your steps. You have nothing in you. Nothing in the flesh. Nothing in your head. Nothing in your reasoning ability. Nothing in your analyzing. And your synthesis, it'll always take you to synthesis. You will evaluate the current situation from your reasoning. That's synthesis. Every teacher trained, every student. You know, this is why you talk to the culture today. It's gone. The believer is, there's very few believers. Most people are thinkers, you know. We got footnotes, you know, and all kinds of theorizing. I think and I feel going on. That's the language of heresy, of a heresiarchical paradigm. But that is the dialectical practice. The praxis follows the truth. Praxis follows the procedure. You got to do the procedure. There is only one truth in dialectic. And that is the theory, your opinion. See, Eve shared her opinion. For God has said, thou shalt not eat of it, nor touch it. That's your opinion. Your desire to relate with something in the world. And therein, then, she looks at the tree because she's been set free. The negative valence, the fear of God, was removed. Why? Because, or how was it done? And I've shared this in prior programs by Herbert, or by Kurt Lewin. He said, the negative valence of a forbidden object. See, the fear of judgment of that forbidden tree, you know, the fruit of that tree, don't eat of it. Why? You'll die. The negative valence of a forbidden object, which in itself attracts the child, is usually derived from an induced field of force of an animal. In other words, it's God who says, you know what? Or the parent who says, you know what? You know, you don't do this. You know, and the parent looks you in the eye and says, do you understand what I just said? In other words, you better obey me. It's not an intellectual assent here. I just gave you a command. You do it. You trust in me. Quit leaning to your own understanding. But then Kurt Lewin said, if the field of force loses its psychological existence, in other words, if the parent goes away, where's God? See, and in her mind, Satan came along and says, oh, you won't die, for God doesn't know the day you eat thereof. You'll be like him. He mentioned God, but see, the authority of God was now equalized with Satan. Satan was now equal because he's the professor. He's the facilitator. When you have that facilitator come into your town hall meeting, you just lost the power of your representative, Because no longer is the voice of the constituents directing him. It's the voice of the facilitator. It's the voice of Satan. Same paradigm. This is Satan's paradigm, a heresiarchal paradigm. And so the system can actually come in into the church and say, oh, we're going to promote Jesus. And folks, that's why Jesus said, you know, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. To those who, you know, did miracles and prophesied, even in the name of Jesus. And Jesus' response is, I didn't know you because you didn't die. You're alive to yourself. You're thinkers and feelers. You haven't humbled yourself before me. Yeah, you haven't walked, you know, you haven't denied yourself before my Heavenly Father. He who does my Father's will. You know, even to death. Willing to lose it all. You must lose it all. Not just willing. You must give it all up. That's death to find life. You must die twice to live forever. If you just, you know, you must be born again twice too. Born first and born the second time in the spirit. But you got to die. You got to die once at least, if not twice. You got to die to yourself. Because this self is what makes the dialectic work. That's why parents, traditional patriarchal parents, will chasten their children. God says, if you reject chastisement, you're a bastard. And this whole process says, you don't have the right to chasten your child. This is the right of the child. This is huge, folks. This is where we're going. This is how the Antichrist rules. You cannot chasten the children. The children are the ones who practice the patricide. Now, I'm going to get in Herbert Marcuse and his study of Freud. In that, when the children are driven out by the father, this is like the French Revolution, the king drives the directorate out because he sees that they're out to get him, then they meet on the tennis court and they come to a consensus, which means everybody is now, you know, you cross the brotherhood, they're going to do you to you what they're going to do to the king, and they kill the king. And so in psychology, that's called patricide. So in Freud's story, as Herbert Marcuse shares it, and I'll cover this later on, the children come back and kill the father. And then not only kill the father, they eat him, which means they annihilate him. In other words, there's no gravestone. There's no memory of the past. You know, the next generation can't say, well, who's that buried over there? Well, that's Dad. We just killed him. Well, was he a good guy? You know, did he care about us? You know, did he feed us, clothes? Well, yeah, but you know what? He just kept telling us, cannot, must not, thou shalt not. And we couldn't discover our full potential. No. What they have to do is they have to annihilate. That's why, see, when Eve was looking at a tree, it's good for food, pleasing the eyes, desires make one wise. Where was the patriarchal paradigm? It was annihilated. Didn't exist. That's a cunning of this process. When your elected officials are dialoguing a consensus, where's the voice of the constituents? Where is it where it says Congress shall not, or the limited form of government? It's gone, folks. It's gone. Once they come out, they're starry-eyed, they're glazed. You know, the dream of the future now possesses their life. And they are selling the souls of everybody in this nation for the dream, for the process, for the theory. We're going to practice theory. So that's where we find ourselves. So, and by the way, Kenneth Benet says, once the field of force loses its psychological existence for the child, in other words, there's no fear of God. See, the negative balance disappears. There's no fear of consequence. There's no cause and effect. In other words, the situation now directs us. The situation ethics, values clarification. The moment, you know, postmodernism means no standards. We have no reference. The only reference we have is in the here and now. Now, getting to Eros and civilization, and in the very introduction, Herbert Marcuse writes, the revolution at home against home seems largely impulsive. See, this is where it all begins. When your parents, right or wrong, when your parents told you that you couldn't do something you wanted to do, there's dissatisfaction. Or they told you to do something you didn't want to do. There's dissatisfaction. And so you find that same ought to be. Well, I ought to be able to go out. You know, well, I ought to be able to stay home. And, you know, I don't want to go, you know, the family reunion. And so this moment of dissatisfaction was the key. And the revolt at home, against the patriarch, is an impulse. It's the, John Dewey called it the mimesis. We can't psychologically go beyond it. It's that sensuous need that triggers dissatisfaction to higher authority, that draws us to the creation. See, Paul says, I've learned to be content in all conditions. The only way you can do that is to walk in Christ, to truly to walk in the Spirit, to set your mind on things above. That's the only way, and it's His work in you. There's nothing in you, in your reasoning, and in your flesh that can ever move you away from the impulses of the flesh. The flesh is always an impulsive buyer. And then in Herbert Marcuse continues, he says, in other words, the shaping of the environment, and this was the key, that's what this is, the TV, the media, the elected officials, the consensus process, facilitators, it's all about the environment. They call it environment control, climate control. It's to bring in appropriate information into dialogue. In other words, the shaping of the environment, the transformation of nature may be propelled by the liberated rather than the repressed life instincts. And so the role of a teacher today is to allow spontaneity in the classroom. Something your parents would not. Now, they would let you play, but then there's a time when you're at work, you better be doing your work. And so, you know, if you are out discing, you know, I was raised on a farm and I'd get on the tractor. If I just decided to do a few wheelies out there in the field, my dad would have a fit. You know, I couldn't do spontaneity. It was keep it straight, you know, get the straight rows and do it right. Save the fuel. You know, don't abuse the equipment. But now everything is spontaneity. That's role playing. That's of the devil. Role-playing is you allowing your natural inclination freedom so that you can deliver yourself from the rigidity of the past. Now, the world can practice this, but a believer cannot. A believer is always looking to God for direction, His Word for direction, not to his flesh and his natural inclination. So Herbert Marcuse says, in other words, the shaping of the environment, the transformation of nature, may be propelled, accentuated by the liberated rather than the repressed life instincts. In other words, that's Eros. Let Eros out. And aggression would be subjected to their demands. Oh, wow, this is powerful. Because once you let Eros out, then aggression is in agreement with Eros. This is the hate that's going to come to the believer from those who practice the dialectical process. It comes with the process. Well, we ran out of time again. I close with this: trust in the Lord. You know, all the anxiety, you know, be anxious for nothing. Give it all to the Lord. Trust in Him with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. He is a loving, wonderful, caring, compassionate, a good God, a holy God. And acknowledge Him and proclaim His name in all that you do. And let Him be the one who directs your step. Because that's the only eternal consequence that you can have for eternal peace, is letting Him direct your life.